Hello, friends. It is Saturday. It is September 2nd. And, Mr. Producer, Charles texted me and he says that, I'll text him back. He says he's ready. I'm not sure what's going on. We've got some little technical difficulties here, and we're trying to get our guests on. hopefully that'll happen momentarily. Anyway, it is September 2nd, 2017, and we're coming up on Labor Day. And it's a day I'll always remember because I went into labor with my very first child on Labor Day. How's that for timing? Anyway, this is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. And to listen to the archives of this program, select my name in the archives section at RBN. And please also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and WoolliesBlog.blogspot.com. I also invite you to visit ScreeningSandyHook.net. I've just uploaded a couple of new articles there. Anyway, during the program, email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. Do not send questions to my regular email address, which is deanna@spingola.email, because I don't look at that email program or that email address during the program. And actually, I don't look at comment@spingola.email except on Saturday for 3 short hours. So if you want to send questions, please send them to comment@spingola.email. We also invite you to join the chat room, and you can do that by visiting spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the third hour at 800-313-9443. Just to visit our guest lineup, visit spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button and select the year, month, and day because that's where I have all the links to all the programs. And you can see who is going to be visiting in the future and who has been visiting in the past. All righty. I have some relevant links to other things, too. And I want to also alert you to the fact that there is a petition at the White House, and I have a link to that website, and the petition is there for upholding First Amendment rights, and I urge all of the listeners to please visit and sign that petition. As I said, the link is on my website. It's also in the chat room, and I do encourage you to please visit that link. Alrighty, my guest today is Charles Kraft. His website is charlescraft.com, and his last name spelled K-R-A-F-F-T. Okay, what we might want to do, Mr. Producer, is call him on the phone if there's a problem with contacting him via Skype. Skype can be problematic at times. I know sometimes we have trouble just doing the talk show. It'll kind of go off and we have to reconnect. So anyway, I don't know whether it depends on what we're talking about or whether it's just a coincidence. But anyway, that might be what you'd like to do is call him on a phone and we'll do the program via the telephone. But anyway, you'll keep me posted. What we're going to be talking about today we're going to be talking about World War II and about specifically about a document. It's an 18-page document, which I have linked on the schedule page, and it's called Britain's Rumor Factory. Now, I've written quite a little bit about World War II and specifically about what didn't happen. We all hear the rumors about what was supposed to have happened, and it did not happen that way. Okay, I have a message here. Let's see what's going on. Okay, all righty. It's from somebody else. Okay. Anyway. Okay, let me just end. All righty. This is very exciting today. Okay, do we have our guest? Oh, great. Charles, welcome to the program. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm having some plug-in trouble here with my... Looks like it's an outdated Skype program.
Oh, well, if it's working, then great. Sometimes those updates don't really help. They've been trying to get me to update my Skype, and I said, no, I don't think so.
All I want to do is just accept the phone call from your board operator, and it has all these new options for me to do.
Yeah.
So I'm confused by it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, as long as you're here and we can talk about the things that we're going to talk about, that's the important thing. And so, anyway, if you don't use Skype a lot, it is difficult to use, I think.
Well, it usually works for me. And I just, when somebody calls, I hit that little button that's got that blue and white phone thing.
Yeah.
And every time I hit that now, let's see. Every time I hit it, I get a conference call plug-in that I apparently don't have. And then they want me to download that.
Huh. Maybe they know what we're going to talk about today or something.
I don't know. maybe during the break, your board guy can help me go through this, and we can get back on Skype.
He's terrific. He's really terrific. So you're not on Skype.
No, I'm on my phone now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
It's an emergency.
Yes. Thank goodness for telephones, right? Who would have thought?
Okay. They're easier.
They are, sure. Well, we're going to talk about something that's very interesting, something that I've written a little bit about. And you sent us a document. So let's tell us a little bit about the origin of this document and why it's become available and for what reason.
The origins of the document first appeared on a website that is a British nationalist website, and I think it's called Heritage and Destiny. And then it was picked up by CODO and brought over to Inconvenient History. I think that's where they have a copy there.
Right.
That's at the CODO site. So listeners, if they want to follow along with our conversation, can either go to the Heritage and Destiny site and look it up, and I could probably guide them there.
Well, I have a link on the schedule page. All they have to do is click the link, and the link is in the chat room, so people can follow along. And it's very interesting. We just have been deluged with all kinds of false information that actually had its birth before the war even began, and during the war, all the rumors. Well, that's why you call it Britain's rumor factory. That all of this stuff started, and the reason it started, they wanted to really destroy the Germans' belief. They wanted to make them feel discouraged, and that they were losing. I mean, they really had a lot of programs that were designed to. They were really into propaganda, very much into propaganda.
You know what happened? I mean, we can skip ahead, and after the war, the psychological warfare soldiers who were in the various psychological warfare organizations and departments went to work in academia and then in the private sector and ended up using their skills against us as a populace for social engineering experiments, because they learned during their experience in the war how to manipulate opinion, and they honed it then, and you can imagine what kind of perfection they brought it to 70 years after the war. Now it's a science, and it has to do with psychology, and they're very good at what they do.
They are, definitely.
So the thing about the essay Britain's Rumor Factory, which I thought was really important, was that it takes the Holocaust revisionism research out of concentration camp forensics, where it's been stuck since the Zundel trial in 1985, and bumps it into the intelligence realm of research. And this is the first essay I've ever run across that looks at intelligence in the Holocaust. And I say that it out of the concentration camps and into the gentlemen's clubs, because these spies and psychological warfare soldiers were from, you know, the aristocratic class in Britain and from our upper classes in America, the elites. They went into these departments. And so I've been waiting for years for somebody to start poring over the archives and, you know, research how the spies were working. And this is the first kind of interesting essay that I've run across. So I was really excited about it, and I mentioned it to you because I thought we should publicize it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And
It was written in 2017, which is this year. And,
right.
The author is a fellow named Andy Ritchie, whom I've corresponded with, but he doesn't seem to be receptive to interviews, I guess, because I asked him about an interview and I didn't hear back. But what he did was he went into the British National Archives at Kew Gardens, I would assume, and and he found these new documents that were released after the David Irving Deborah Lipstadt trial. And the thing about this essay is that it revolves around a piece of a document that David Irving presented to the court while he was there suing Deborah Lipstadt for libel. But the trial got out of his hands, and it became a Holocaust trial rather than a libel trial, really.
It really did, and he really paid a huge price.
Yeah, he did, and he was outgunned by 26-1 because she brought 26 law clerks and researchers and lawyers with her.
Liars.
In the court. Yeah, and, you know, they didn't even put her on the stand.
They didn't need to.
Well, it would have been kind of interesting. But they learned their lesson in the Zundel trial, you know, when they had Rudolf Verba on the stand, and that other Verba, and then, you know, the guy that wrote the three books, the two-volume Urtext on the Urtext on the Holocaust and the disappearance of the European Jews. I forget his name. He didn't want to come back and testify again.
Right, he learned his lesson.
Roald Hilberg.
Right, yes.
Yeah,
because they were asking questions and he couldn't. He had to lie and he couldn't answer them.
Doug Christie. He was cross-examined, and they realized that if you let these witnesses in the Holocaust trials get cross-examined, you might find out that that they don't know what they're talking about.
Sure.
So Hilberg had to go back and rewrite his book because he had written that there was a Hitler order, you know, to implement the Holocaust And there wasn't one. And he had to admit that on trial. And so when he went and rewrote his book for the edition that came out after the Zundel trial, he said that the high command of the German military were communicating by telepathy. they knew what each other's thoughts were, and they had a secret kind of a code language, and so they didn't need an order. They just knew.
Gosh.
So anyway, they don't want to put Deborah Lipstadt on trial after this debacle of Raoul Hilberg in Toronto. So
sure.
Anyway, there was this document.
That is amazing, though, that so many people learned so much from those two trials. And I guess Deborah Lipstadt also learned a few things, not to be put on the witness stand.
Yeah.
She's really a piece of work.
Well, have you seen that movie that they made of the trial? Denial?
No, I don't intend to.
Well,
or maybe I should, I don't know. I don't go to the movies much.
You don't have to waste your time with it.
I haven't been to the movies for ages.
Yeah, me neither. But I went with a friend of mine that wanted to review it, so I sat through the damn thing.
It's painful, right?
Well, it's just silly. I mean, once you understand, this is another thing about the Holocaust that people don't know, is that at Nuremberg, motion picture film was entered as evidence for the first time in the history of jurisprudence. And the motion picture that they entered as evidence was a melange of creatively edited Signal Corps film footage of the liberation of the concentration camps, which looked like people were being exterminated. That was the inference,
right.
You know. And
right.
And so even the defendants were shocked because of the way that this footage was edited. It was so creative and so well done that
right.
They were shocked, and Nuremberg was a theater. So the looks on their faces as the lights are dimmed in the courthouse and they're presented with this film, were being filmed by the media, you know. They were capturing their faces. And that was used to sort of demonize them in the media, of course. And
sure. And that was a military tribunal, and so they weren't allowed to actually defend themselves. They weren't allowed to have representation. It was a military tribunal by the people who had actually committed the crimes in Europe.
Yeah, no, they didn't. They weren't allowed a defense. You're right about that. I'm getting off the subject here a little bit to C.D. Jackson. C.D. Jackson was Dwight Eisenhower's intelligence major domo, and he worked with the U.S. Army Department of Psychological Warfare as an assistant to Brigadier General Robert McClure. And
right.
C.D. Jackson and William S. Paley of CBS. C.D. Jackson was the editor-in-chief of Time, Life, and Fortune magazines. He was way up in the Henry Luce, publishing corporation.
Alrighty, we're going to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back, and maybe our producer can help you with your Skype. Be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
And our guest today is Charles Kraft, and that is K-R-A-F-F-T. His website is charleskraft.com. Okay, you were talking about Jackson, and that would be Robert H. Jackson. And they
Charles Robert Jackson, C.D., Charles David Jackson, I think it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not Robert Jackson. Robert Jackson was the head of the he was a judge. C.D. Jackson, I was saying, was a psychological warfare wizard who worked for Henry Luce.
Okay.
And he was, there were three men that were at the head of the U.S. Department of Psychological Warfare, SHAFE, which is the Supreme Allied Expeditionary Force. And it was Brigadier Generals. Robert McClure, C.D. Jackson, and William S. Paley, who headed up CBS. And Jackson was from Life magazine. He was the head of Life.
Right.
Okay, so I don't know what my thought was before that. C.D. Jackson was at Buchenwald, and he was there with Billy Wilder, and they set up a atrocity display table that included what they told people were a human skin lampshade and a shrunken head, and those were presented at Nuremberg as evidence. And it's been proven since then that there was no human lampshade, and those, I think there were two two heads, and those were from some natural history museum. They were Amazonian Hivaro Indian, what they called Sansa, shrunken heads. That was all set up to be filmed. And again, film was used to capture the looks of the local townspeople down the road in Weimar, Germany, who were force-marched by the U.S. Army up to the camp and then shown this stuff on this table and told through an interpreter that the camp commandant had been shrinking heads and skinning inmates. And then the photographer would photograph the looks on their faces, and some of these people broke down and put their hands over their eyes and expressed horror and shock, and that was used as part of post-war propaganda and shown to Americans in our newsreels. That's the way we got to see a lot of that stuff.
Wow. Now, wasn't there one couple that actually committed suicide? The mayor and his wife of one of the towns?
I don't know. I mean, a camp inmate or what? What are you talking about?
One of the German, a couple who was force marched down to see all of this.
Oh.
Actually committed suicide.
After they after they went to visit the Buchenwald?
Yes.
They went
yes.
home to their house
yes.
in
so
Weimar
felt so,
and killed themselves?
Horrible. Yes. I don't remember what their names were.
Yeah.
They committed suicide. I'll try and find it.
Hmm.
I have it listed
in my notes.
Suppose
that they committed suicide because they were tangentially involved in the camp, or just because they were shocked?
They were shocked, and they could not believe that Germans could do those kinds of things. And they believed what they were told. They saw what they thought was evidence. They felt so incredibly terrible that they committed suicide.
Oh, man. Well, there's...
I'll try and find the notes.
Okay. Back to the Britain's Rumor Factory, this essay.
Right.
What Andy Ritchie found at Kew Gardens in the National Archives was evidence that wasn't available during the Zundel... I mean, during the Irving trial. Irving brought up this message that the Joint Intelligence Committee of the...
All right, we're going to a quick 3-minute break, and I did find the name of the couple. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Charles Kraft. His website is CharlesKraft.com, and you spell the last name K-R-A-F-F-T. And I did find the note, and it was reported by Patton. General Patton reported this, that the mayor of Gotha, which was a small town close to where they were, where they set up. To Buchenwald. Yes. And that they were so upset over seeing the horrors that they saw that they committed suicide. That's according to Patton.
Well, that's unfortunate because what they saw was all fake.
I know.
That
have believed what they saw.
Yeah. It was a psyops, and it was part of a psychological warfare operation that was orchestrated by C.D. Jackson.
Right.
Where were we now? We were going back to... there's information about the British... it's called the PWE. It's a political warfare executive. Was a branch of British intelligence that was... the Black Ops Department, meaning Black Propaganda Department of the Special Operations Executive. And the man that was a liaison between the SOE, the PWE, and the Ministry of Information was Victor Cavendish Bentinck.
Right.
And Bentinck said towards the end of the war in a memo that he sent to somebody, and I don't remember what that memo, who that memo was sent to, but Irving had a copy of it, and he presented it at his trial, and it said that he thought that it was time to retire the Gassing's story.
Wow.
And that I remember at the time wondering why that wasn't examined more closely during the Irving trial. Well, what Andy Ritchie says in his essay is that there was no way to really look further into that note of Victor Cavendish Bentinck's, that inner office memo about retiring the Gassing story, because the archives had not been opened up at that time, and they didn't get opened. That information wasn't made available to researchers until 2015. So when Andy Ritchie apparently went to find out more about these, Bentinck's note to Irving, note to whoever it was that he was sending his inner office memo to, I don't remember. When he went to research that, having read about it at Irving's site, because Irving mentioned it, he found more information about these departments in British intelligence that were creating what were called SIBs. And SIBs are rumors. And SIB is from the Latin, which means, let's see here, I got to look at this. It's from a Latin word for whisper. And I think it means sibilante or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what had been going on was that the PWE had been starting to spread rumors about Poles being gassed in 1940. And Robert Evans, who was the guy that was the main historical witness against Irving at that trial, in his summation of what went down, said that there was no evidence. There was no further evidence to confirm that memo, Bentinck's memo. But there was evidence to confirm it, and Andy Ritchie found it, and he found a lot of it. And that's what the essay is about. And it's the various kinds of SIBs, or rumors, that were started by this special department of the British Intelligence Service.
Right.
So they started the rumors the main thing that came up was this one thing that got scuttled. Let me read this to you, okay? Cavendish Bentinck wasted no time in passing this analysis on later that day to the Foreign Office top brass. Well, in my opinion, he says, it's incorrect to describe Polish information regarding German atrocities as trustworthy. The Poles, and to a far greater extent, the Jews tend to exaggerate German atrocities in order to stoke us up. They seem to have succeeded. Mr. Allen and myself have both followed German atrocities quite closely. I do not believe that there is any evidence which would be accepted in a law court that Polish children have been killed on the spot by Germans when their parents were being deported to work in Germany, or that Polish children have been sold to German settlers. As regards putting Poles to death in gas chambers, I do not believe that there is any evidence that this has been done. There have been many stories to this effect, and we have played them up in PWE rumors. So he's admitting that the political warfare executive has been playing up these rumors about gassings without believing that they had any foundation. At any rate, there is far less evidence than exists for the mass murder of Polish officers by the Russians at Katyn. On the other hand, we do know that the Germans are out to destroy the Jews of any age unless they are fit for manual labor. Well, that's debatable. I mean, I think he's just reiterating some sort of propaganda because he doesn't have any further evidence to prove that. But anyway, he goes on, I think that we weaken our case against the Germans by publicly giving credence to atrocity stories for which we have no evidence. These mass executions in gas chambers remind me of the stories of employment of human corpses during the last war for the manufacture of fat, which was a grotesque lie and led to the true stories of German atrocities being brushed aside as being mere propaganda. I'm very sad to see that we must needs ape the Russians and talk about Hitlerite instead of German. That's just one little thing. And then this was a telegram that was sent out to the Allies from British intelligence. He added a postscript. He says, on further reflection, we are not convinced that evidence regarding the use of gas chambers is substantial enough to justify inclusion in a public declaration, and would prefer it if United States government agree that sentence in question should end at concentration camps. Please telegraph United States government views urgently. Okay. So what he did was, he and his superior, they stopped this rumor that children were being sold to German settlers and that Poles were getting gassed in camps in Poland. So,
my goodness. And of course, they also start, well, you mentioned the rumors after the first war. And so yeah, this isn't something that was new.
No, this was something that they did in World War One, which they regretted because, as you said, there were atrocities, but these atrocities that were committed were brushed aside as propaganda because they'd spread so many lies about other atrocities that they couldn't really get anybody to believe it, the ones that did happen.
Sure. People tend to have a short memory, though, and with a 30-year break between the wars, not quite
yeah.
30, but...
Well, you have to be curious about this stuff in the first place to even get this far with propaganda. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's kind of a it's an acquired taste because if you're following footnotes in these very very dry books of history written by people who aren't necessarily going to tell you the truth.
Right.
About things. But anyway, so...
And as you say, they started using film, and people became more accustomed to seeing things on film. It's much easier for people now to watch a 15-minute video and get all the information they want about a particular thing than it is to look at a bunch of documents and read. It's
exactly.
much easier. And they have discovered... film. I'm reading a book right now called Esoteric Hollywood, is very good. Yes.
Well, that's a YouTube syndrome where we all have our attention spans shortened by these 10-minute videos that we watch on YouTube. I used to read voraciously, and I don't have an attention span for it any longer.
And that's deliberate. I believe that's deliberate.
I'm sure it is.
Right.
And then they can control. Now they're controlling our YouTube, the YouTube, what do they call it? Content presenters. They're just
sure.
clearing the decks with of the content providers that they don't like. There's a great big huge purge going on. It's been going on for about a month at YouTube.
Well, they actually made a deal. Excuse me. With the ADL back in 2008, in December 2008, where the ADL was going to come in and give them recommendations of what to accept and what not to accept. And but I think they've really taken a big stand on this, and I think that's why it's very important that people sign that, the petition. And I mentioned at the beginning of the program, it's a petition that is will save, or, well, maybe not, to uphold the First Amendment rights. And that petition is linked at my website on today's schedule so that people can click on it and sign it. And it's to uphold First Amendment rights because we need to be able to speak out. And this online censorship is just, it's against the First Amendment, plain and simple. So I hope everyone will sign that. It's also in the chat room.
Is that a petition to, it's not really, it's a petition to draw the president's attention to this problem. It's not really a petition for... What is it?
It's petition.whitehouse.gov, and it is a petition to the White House to pay attention.
Look into this?
Is that right.
Okay.
Which...
And you need 100,000 signatures to get them to look at it? And how many do they have now? Do you have any idea?
I'm not sure what... Not very many.
Oh.
Which is very sad.
Okay. Well, yeah, that is sad, and it looks like we're losing our First Amendment. I mean, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but the way things are going, it doesn't seem like we've got any choice here because nobody listens to the polity anymore. You know what I mean? They just ram it all down our throats and let the devil take the hindmost. The ADL and the SPLC apparently are both. Have been contracted to monitor hate speech, and so they decide what's hateful. And
I think
that's a shame.
I think that they also have people who visit websites, chat rooms, and post messages that will limit the rhetoric. They will just limit the rhetoric. And it is very unfortunate. So sometimes we censor ourselves simply because we're afraid to speak out.
How do they limit the rhetoric? I don't get it. You mean they give you a strike? They report your information to the...
For instance, if you have a website that you invite comments. Person, if you make a comment that is in opposition to what the general article is about, then they can delete it, or they can simply close the comment section, or you can change the subject. There's so many ways of taking people off topic and to...
Right.
Ridicule. There's all kinds of ways.
Right. I noticed that in letters to the editors of newspapers at local newspaper websites, they're getting they've been kind of censorious for years, but
decades. Decades and decades.
But now this censorship is infecting platforms. You know. Chat rooms and forums and YouTube video channels and Google websites.
Sure. You might have been number one a year ago, and now you might be number 1,000.
Oh, they manipulate those numbers. Exactly.
Sure.
And then there's the demonetization of YouTubers started months ago. So everybody was complaining about not being able to use advertisers to get, a little bit of extra money to pay for their channels.
Sure.
Okay, so let's get back to this. So David Irving's critics sought to interpret the episode in their own way, and this Bentinck, you know, that memo. And Sir Richard Evans writes in his account of the Irving-Lipstadt trial that there was no evidence anywhere else, indeed, that the British political warfare executive, had invented the story of the gas chambers. Well, Sir Richard Evans is wrong, because Andy Ritchie, in his essay, went and found, about five gas chamber-related whisper campaigns, SIBs, rumors that they planted, and traced those rumors to the various intelligence agencies where they originated, and then pinned them on.
Okay, we have a quick 3-minute break, so we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. Be right back.
Nutramedical's new True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at Nutramedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at Nutramedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Charles Kraft. His website is charleskraft.com, and his last name is spelled with two F's. It's K-R-A-F-F-T. All righty. I'm sorry I cut you off mid-sentence there in going to the break, but please continue.
I can't remember where I was because I'm back here fussing with my Skype program.
Oh, okay.
But when listen, don't worry about it. We're gonna. I'll take care of it later.
Okay. I just wanted to make one mention of something that we'd mentioned the Nuremberg trials earlier, and the fact is that even before the war ended, Jackson, the judge, was already getting together all of the judges and everything that he needed to have a trial for the Germans before the war even ended.
Well, they were looking for some sort of
blame.
Somebody to blame for what happened. You know about Raphael Lemkin and the Carnegie Institute for Peace, and they brought him from.
Yes.
He was a Polish jurist. They called it a jurist, a guy that writes about jurisprudence, and he came up with he coined the term genocide.
Genocide, right?
And so he coined this term. He applied it to the Armenian, I think the Armenian genocide, and then they used it to for the German genocide. And the guy that was the legal eagle that took Lemkin's idea of genocide and turned it into ex post facto charge, you see, was Lieutenant Colonel Murray C. Bernays. And he was Edward Bernays's brother-in-law. His real name was Bernie Cohen. He married Bernays's sister and changed his name, Cohen, to Bernays because Edward Bernays was such a well-known New York socialite.
Right.
And so then they had this thing, crimes against humanity and crimes against peace, and that no one had ever been charged with that before. In fact, I don't believe that were there any trials after World War One? There probably were. I don't know I don't know anything about it, if there were. But as far as I know, these crimes that were concocted by Bernays, the lawyer, and Lemkin, the jurist, or the guy that writes about law, those crimes weren't even on the books. They just invented them to pin down the Germans.
And they were the objective was that these would be acts that groups commit with the objective of destroying national, ethnic, racial, or religious groups. And I'm thinking, gosh, look at all of the crimes that are now currently being committed in the Middle East. What is that all about? And doesn't that apply? Apparently not. Oops, we're at the top of the hour. So we will be right back in 3 minutes, so stay with us.
Let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Charles Kraft.